It is so uplifting to know, isn't it, that whenever we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is present with us. As we come into His presence, let us open our Bibles to see the Lord's message for us tonight. As we read and continue our series in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 23 to 48. We are going to pick up the story of Peter and Cornelius, the second part of verse 23 in this particular chapter, and read to the end of the chapter, to verse 48. This is the word of God as we find it in book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 23 to 48. The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Four days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as a judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. May God bless the reading of His Word, that by His Spirit we might bear much and good fruit for His glory's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one foundation, regardless which nation, which background we come forth. You accept us for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him You have granted us forgiveness of our sins. In Him You have granted us a new life. Lord, we pray that tonight You will minister to us through your spoken, written word. You will draw us closer to our Lord and Savior, and you will help us to grow in grace and in our faith. This we pray in his name and for his sake, who saved us on the cross, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, as by God's grace, we are continuing our series in the book of Acts. We come to this very well-known and interesting passage in chapter 10. The story of Peter and Cornelius. And I feel as I was reading this passage, God was challenging me about my faith. And I feel that He wants to challenge us all about our faith. About the depth, the width, the horizon of our faith. Where do we stand in our Christian faith and commitment? Are we satisfied with it? Do we feel we have arrived? Somebody said one day that, well, his faith is all right and he has almost arrived. Which direction could he develop or grow? He's regularly going to worship, regularly reads his Bible, occasionally prays, generally a good person. He's not worse than anybody else. So where can he grow or develop? What more can be expected from his faith? And I feel that's often the question we ourselves ask ourselves of. You know, when we do the basics, worshipping God in fellowship of His saints, reading the Bible, we pray together, we try to conduct a fairly good life, acceptable to God, then what else is there to do? Can we grow? Can we develop? Can we improve? Or are we in the other extreme? That we are fearful that we are not good enough. That others are better, more saintly than ourselves. Do we feel that others find it so much easier to be godly, to pray, to read the Bible, to seek the fellowship of God's people? So where do we stand in the faith? Is it stagnating? Or do we feel it is in a crisis? Because we have to remember one thing, that God wants our faith to grow. If you don't take anything else, just the image that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us, as it is recorded in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15. The vine and the branches. The simple fact that the branches are attached to the vine means that the branches must grow. And if we are the branches, we have all the resources, all the power that is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ to enable us to get stronger, to grow and to bear fruit. The Christian faith must be a faith that is growing, day by day developing and improving. Or as the Apostle Paul himself put it, as he was writing to the Philippians, not that he has already attained that perfection for which God called him, but he is pressing forward to receive all that the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for him. He is not perfect yet, but he's going forward. He's growing in that faith. He didn't arrive yet. And in today's passage that is before us, I feel God is telling us that He is giving us the growth. Paul also said this, didn't he? One person sows the seed, the other one waters the plant, but God is giving the growth. And He is setting the pace for us how to grow, how to develop, how to improve. And what we have to do is to listen, obey Him, and follow Him. This passage from the book of Acts is often referred to as the story of Peter and Cornelius, or Cornelius and Peter. But I would like to say that it is rather God and Peter and Cornelius. Because God is a great mover here. God is behind all that is happening here. He's holding all these lives in His hand. And He's working in their lives, both in the life of Peter and Cornelius. Both of them, Peter and Cornelius, needed to grow, to discover new areas in their faith, to be closer to God. And God is working in their lives, leading them in this spiritual journey. God moves everything here. Just let us have a look at this passage, the whole of this chapter 10. Cornelius is praying in the afternoon, as he usually did. And God is sending an angel to him. And God is sending a message through that angel, through that messenger, to Cornelius. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. God is keeping an account of the life of Cornelius. That he's a God-fearing person. He is praying regularly. And he practices charity. And all that is kept by God. And he knows about that. He remembers his gifts and his prayers. And then God is working in the life and the heart of Peter. When Peter has the vision of these unclean animals. And God is breaking down the barriers of taboo in the life of Peter. God is sending the messengers from Caesarea to Joppa to Peter. When God is speaking to Peter in verse 20, we see, "So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Although they come from Cornelius, but God sent the messengers. And later on, when Peter arrives to Cornelius' house, God is putting the message into the mouth of Peter. In verse 33, Cornelius says to Peter, "So I sent for you after I had the vision of the angel and the message. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And at the end, while Peter is still preaching, God is pouring out His Holy Spirit into the life of all those who are in the house of Cornelius. God is moving and working behind all this in the life of Cornelius and Peter. Breaking down barriers, setting them new targets, and moving them on. Prepares both of them for His power to be active in their lives. Preparing both the soil and the sower. And I think this is a great encouragement. I feel a great encouragement for preacher and for congregation. For every Christian who wants to witness to God, whether sitting in the pew or standing on a pulpit. Because it means that behind our efforts, God is present and active. He's keeping a watch of our lives and He sees our shortcomings. He knows where we are weighing too light. And He's coming and intervening and guiding us to move forward in the faith. The aim is growth as a preacher and as a receiver of the good news. The question is, when we come to worship God, when we prepare for the Lord's Day, when we open our Bibles for quiet time, how do we do that? Are we aware that God wants to use that time to make us grow? That He has a set purpose to touch areas in our lives that might be affected by taboos or cultural prohibitions. And He wants to break down those barriers. It's great that we can count on God when we prepare to deliver His message. when we have to witness to someone on a personal relationship or whether in the fellowship of the congregation. Because God wants us to grow, to develop and go forward in our faith. So our prayer should be that God will grant us grace to communicate His message, to build up others, to encourage them to change what needs to be changed in their lives. If something needs to be torn down, to tear it down, to clear it away, to make space for a new life there. And granting us the grace to receive that word as a word of life, as a word of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it amazing that neither Peter nor Cornelius knew what is happening. They were not given the full information. Cornelius received a message from the angel, from God through the angel, sent for Peter. Who is Peter? Why? And there is Peter having the vision of these unclean animals coming down in that sheet on the order, kill and eat. Peter says, no way. And why? What is the whole purpose of this? There's no explanation. And later on, when Peter arrives to Cornelius, why am I here? Why did you send for me? What am I supposed to do here? They don't know what God wants from them. But the amazing thing is that they take the message in and act upon it. Send for Peter. Yes, Lord, I will send for Peter. I don't know why, but you told me, and I will go along with that. Go to Cornelius. I go with him without hesitation and objection. Although I am not supposed to enter his house, but I am coming. They are all open and ready to grow as God wants to lead them. So God is moving both Cornelius and Peter in the background. And this is what is happening in the life of Cornelius. Who was Cornelius? As we read at the beginning of chapter 10, he was a centurion in the Italian regiment. So obviously he's a Roman soldier who somehow got to know God. We don't know how. But he got to know God and he turned away from his idols and he put his faith into the one eternal true God. And accepted him as his own God. He was leading a devout life together with his family. A God-fearing life. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And he conducted his life before God. In verse 33, when Peter arrives, says, now we all stand before God. He knows that he leads his life in the eyes, in front of the eyes of Almighty God. And conduct an exemplary life. There's prayer in his life, there is charity in his life, devotion and generosity. All the aspects and contents that were required from a faithful Jew. He did not become a Jew. He was not circumcised, but he lived as a Jew. Now we could say that Cornelius took his faith very seriously. And everything is in place there. What else could he do? There's faith in the true God. There's prayer, charity, good life. Everything is in place. What is missing? Can he move forward in that faith? Can he develop anything on that? What is missing? Or rather, who is missing? God wants to move Cornelius on. Cornelius is close to the kingdom of God. He's very near to the kingdom of God. But he's not in the kingdom of God yet. He's not saved yet. Because he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to move Cornelius from this stage of his life, of his faith, to know Christ. That's why he tells him to call for Peter. He needs to be saved. So he sends for Peter. And what is Peter doing when he arrives? He's preaching Christ to him. All the message that Peter is bringing is about Christ. Beginning with verse 36 and going towards the end of the chapter, he's preaching about Christ, that the new good news of peace came through Christ into this world to the Jews. And you know what happened in Galilee after the baptism that John the Baptist preached? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with Holy Spirit. How he was healing the sick. And how he was crucified and God raised him from the dead. He is preaching Christ. Because everyone who believes in him has forgiveness of sins through his name. Even Cornelius. Because he is Lord of all. Because there is no salvation outside of Christ. And this is the important message for today's world. Faith in itself is not enough. Unqualified faith is not enough. Our faith must have an object. Who do you believe in? The question is not, do you believe? The question is, who do you believe in? It must have an object. Cornelius had a faith. He was drawn to the God of the Jews. But he didn't know Christ. And salvation is found in no one else than the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be so close to the kingdom of God, yet never enter it. Because we don't know Christ. We did not accept him as our Lord and Savior. And while Peter was preaching, God poured out his Holy Spirit on all those who listened to him, as confirming their faith. As in their hearts they were accepting Jesus and taking that good news into their lives. The Holy Spirit was the seal upon their lives that God accepted them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cornelius is moving on here in the faith. He's following God as God is leading him to Christ. And again, the question, the challenge for all of us is, where am I in my faith? Am I just only close to the kingdom of God? Do I just have a faith in some kind of spiritual goodness or greatness or excellence in the world that some call God? Or does my faith have an object? The Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Do I move along with God as He's leading me closer to Him and together with my Savior? Am I willing to go with Him? That's how God is moving and working in the life of Cornelius. And how is he working in the life of Peter? Now this is again something amazing and very interesting to look at. Where was Peter in the faith? Now compared to Cornelius, we can say that Peter has come a long way since he betrayed 3 times his Savior. Since then, since the crucifixion of Christ, he came a long, long way. He was restored by Jesus. He was encouraged by him. He received the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, he became such a fearless witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was imprisoned, he was persecuted, he was beaten. And he says, we rather have to obey God than man. He came a long, long way. He is the leader of the church. He is really pastoral and taking care of Christ's lambs and sheep and feeding them. He is on a journey like that at this very moment. He came a long, long way. So is there any more space there to improve or to grow? There's fullness of grace there. There's obedience. There is service. There is ministry. What else can be done? Although Peter came a long way, he did not arrive yet. Because he was still thinking within the framework of a Jewish setting. Those customs, those traditions, had a very, very deep scar in his life. And that dominated his life and his ministry. Yes, he had to become a witness to Jesus Christ to the end of the earth, as we read at the beginning of Acts. But the end of the earth meant to be a witness to the Jews. As he says in chapter 2, preaching to the 3,000, there when the Holy Spirit was poured out, in verse 39, as he coming to an end of his sermon there on at Pentecost, he says to all those Jews who were present and those proselytes, the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, Jews who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Yes, I have to go to the end of the earth to gather the Jews. But he cannot think any further than that. That barrier has to be broken down. He's still bound by the traditions. And here in chapter 10, at verse 28, we read, as he's coming to the house of Cornelius, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile to visit or visit him. Now, it is not, he's not speaking about a law of scripture. He's speaking about a law, a custom, a tradition of the rabbis. Scripture was separating Jews from Gentiles in worship. But there is no particular law forbidding them to associate with them. But the rabbis went further on and said, no, you cannot even enter their house. You cannot even eat with them. They are dogs. And that taboo, that custom, that tradition has to be broken down in the life of Peter. And that's what God is doing in his life, as he has the vision of these unclean animals. And Peter realized and learned that God does not show favoritism to anyone. He accepts men from all nations and every nation who fear him and do what is right. What is important, not the ethnic background, not the cultural background, not the religious background, but what is important, faith in God and the Savior, and the life that is coming from that faith. At the end of the day, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. One of the commentators put this in this way. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody can come. You don't have to step up on certain ritual or tradition or cultural custom to be accepted by God. No cultural or ethnic burdens or religious burdens or heritage is required to become a child of God. Just come in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who believe in him can come. And Peter is changed. Because by the end, when he's preaching to Cornelius and his household, and the Holy Spirit is poured out into the lives of those people, Peter says, verse 47, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? Can anybody challenge God now? God accepted them as he accepted us. He has given the Holy Spirit to them. Who dares to go against the will of God? He drew these people to himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. So let them be all baptized. Let them be all incorporated into the church of God. Have we come a long way in the faith? Do we feel that God was working in our lives and we improved? Do we think that we have arrived already? Or is there still place for improvement? Back in Romania, we have a saying, and probably I said this one to you already. And the saying goes like this: good minister learns until he dies. And some people add to it, yet they still die very stupid. And that's true. God is using every opportunity to teach us and to grow, to break down those barriers. Often we feel we are ready to minister. Often we feel we are ready in the faith. But every time when we meet with one another, we grow and we can encourage each other by our faith and discover new aspects of that faith as God is moving us along. The question is, are we listening to Him? Are we obeying Him? As Cornelius and Peter, Lord, I don't know, why do you want to send for Peter? I don't even know who Peter is. But I will send for him. Who is Cornelius? Why should I go from Joppa up to Caesarea? A whole day's walk. I don't know. But you told me, Lord, so I'm going. Because you want me to grow in this faith. May God grant us the grace to be open to His Word. To be open to His leadership as we journey on with Christ. And grant us the humility to accept His teaching. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Your compassion for us, for your passion for us, that You know where we stand in our faith, in our spirituality. What are those areas where we still have work to do on our commitment to You? Lord, we give You thanks that You have all the power to work in our lives, to draw us closer to Christ, to help us to keep in step with Your Spirit. Grant us, Lord, the humility and the obedience to take in Your Word and accept the guidance of Your Spirit, that day by day we might grow in our faith. This we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.